You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, here with Vance Pittman. And Vance, today we're talking about growing as a leader. In New Churches, leaders are often utility players wearing a lot of hats, meaning they probably have a number of areas they can and need to grow in.
No doubt about it, Noah, man. When you think about church planting and the role that church planters play and church planting teams, think about it. The missionary, entrepreneur, teacher, catalyst, fundraiser, partnership developer, visionary leader, prayer leader, pastor, and don't forget husband or wife and parent or child, all these hats that are worn by the leaders that are planting churches and a part of church planting teams. That's why I'm super excited about what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. And joining us today is Brad Lominick. Brad is a leadership consultant, a speaker, and author. He writes about leadership, the next generation, creativity, innovation, social media, teamwork, and personal growth. And specifically, he's written a book called H3 Leadership. And that's what I want us to engage in today. Welcome, Brad, to the New Churches Podcast.
Hey, guys. Excited to be here. I feel like I was on here way back in the early days of New Churches. But maybe I'm mistaken.
Oh, you probably were.
If you were doing it back then, you're probably hanging out with Ed Stetzer. He's the pro at this. He's the guy that's been doing this for a while.
Well, listen, Ed Stetzer has been doing it. He has been in the game for a long time. I guess that makes him old. Right?
It makes him like the Yoda. He's the Yoda of New Churches Podcast for sure.
Yes, that's the Gandalf. Gandalf.
That's a better analogy. He's actually had the beard for that for a while too. That's
yes.
Great. He's turned
Noah's
it up, though, since he moved to California.
Noah's got a good beard game, too, going.
Yeah, this is the short beard, too, so we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Hey, Brad, I have really appreciated personally your book, H3 Leadership. It's made me a better leader. I read it when I was going through seasons of needing to grow as a leader, and I've been able to take a number of teammates, both at my church and at Send Network, through the book as they want to level up their leadership as well. I want to engage with this a little bit. In your book, you've said the patterns that we cultivate shape the person that we become. I would love to hear from you just out of the gate here, why these patterns specifically of humble, hungry, and hustle are so important to leadership development.
Yeah, for me, this was a framework when I was leading Catalyst many moons ago. The interns would show up and they, at some point, one of them who was sort of the most ambitious would say, okay, just tell me what I need to do to get ahead here. Like, how do I get your job? Right. And my answer was sort of these three H's: be humble, stay hungry, always hustle. And it became the framework for me, for our team, for teams I've led the last 15 or 20 years. And so it was an idea and a framework before it was a book. I think the thing that I'm learning, and for me it was also a recalibration. You know, I in the book I talk about a season for me when I was unhealthy. And, you know, raise your hand if you've been unhealthy as a leader at any point, for all of us. Like, yeah. We all have. Everybody out there listening has had a season probably or two where they've looked around and thought, man, I'm not the best example of a healthy leader. And for me, it was, you know, about 10 years ago. And so this idea was a recalibration for me of what are the habits, what are the buckets, the framework, but then what are the habits I need to put in place that hopefully are going to get me, you know, to the finish line and be able to finish the race well, compared to sort of just like limping into the fourth quarter and looking around and seeing all kinds of bodies in the ditch that I've left behind. And, you know, the classic case of we can be really successful as leaders. We can grow organizations. We can grow churches. We can be up and to the right the way we measure our success. But But in terms of wait, like how are the people closest to us? How are they doing? And so there's a lot of, I think, habits in the book that will help people stay on point. And again, books come out of pain points. And that was true for me. I was trying to write this to help me actually like get to the finish line.
Brad, in the book, you talk about these three H's, and for the sake of our listeners, maybe that hadn't had a chance to get the book, I highly recommend it if you haven't. Kind of give us a broad brush of those three H's and what those are.
Yeah. Well, humble is the first one. Be humble. And, you know, I think we know what that means. The premise of self-awareness and really like leading yourself is for me the essence of the posture of being a humble leader. Hungry really comes back to the idea, am I going to continue to get better? Am I going to continue to grow as a leader? And when you think about hungry, I'm thinking more about the where am I going, like, and ambition is part of that, the sense of curiosity, and then hustle is how do I get there? So hustle for me is the execution part. And you know, the thing about hustle that so many of us, we get confused on, is we think it's all about, well, am I willing to work my guts out? Is it about hard work? Yes. So it is about work ethic, but it's also about rest ethic. You have to have a framework of work ethic and rest ethic. And so in the hustle section, you know, I've got several chapters on collaboration, margin, Sabbath, because that's the biblical perspective of, to me, of hustle. If it's only about you working your guts out, you're redlining your life, you're all about yourself, you know, that's a worldly definition of what hustle should be. So those are the three. And here's the thing, like, I know a lot of leaders who have a ton of hustle, but no humility. Mm-hmm. So it is all about them. And then I know a lot of leaders who have a ton of humility, but have no hustle. Wow. And this is why the three legs are so important, because I can get one of these right, but if I'm out of balance on the other two, then I'm probably not going to be the best version of the leader I want to be.
That's so good. Vance, you've helped plant over 80 churches in the West alone over the last 22 years. How have you seen these three come into play in working with leaders that are starting new churches?
Well, what I love is how, Brad, you just described it kind of like a three-legged stool, and that's really what it is. Without any one of these legs, it's falling over. And I would say, you know, and what we've seen happen in the Western United States in particular in reacting to this content, that principle of humility, I personally believe the defining mark of Jesus in the Gospels was humility. It's how he spoke of himself. It's how he described himself. That humility that's about a dependence on the Father, a sure self-awareness about who he was and being sent on mission from the Father to accomplish the Father's will. When I've looked at church planters in particular in the Western United States, the defining mark of, and I hate to even use this word, but success. And I mean, when I talk about success, I'm talking about the real bearing of kingdom fruit that lasts, is that issue of humility. Everything else flows out of that. But that alone by itself, you have to have the others as well. The hunger and the hustle, as Brad describes them, I think are just so powerful. And it's a great framework to see the holistic picture through. I love the packaging of it when I saw it. But I think that's key. And Brad, I wanted to ask you a question about a quote that I read in the book as I was looking at some of the content. You said this in the opening section, and I appreciated your transparency. Somewhere along the way, I had erased the line between me and the organization I was leading. And I just thought when I read that, that was so church planter, like church planters and really pastors, ministry leaders, their identity gets so wrapped up in what they do. Talk about that from your own personal experience.
Yeah, I'll take you back to the Catalyst season, because that's where a lot of that was flowing out of incorrectly. Was when I think about this idea of, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? What's my why, the purpose of my life, and even who I am? You know, if I think about identity, calling, and assignment, identity is the who, calling is the why, and assignment's the what. Mm-hmm. I had incorrectly wrapped all three of those around leading Catalyst. And it was a, listen, this was a great season. And a lot of pastors, church planters, entrepreneurs, athletes, organizational leaders, we do this without even realizing it, is if we're honest, we all of a sudden get to the stage in life where there's a false sense of connection, especially with identity, to our what. And we've got to make sure those different buckets of identity, calling, and assignment are really clear for us. Because here's the thing, I transitioned. A lot of leaders, when they transition out of something, especially that they've led for a while or they started, it is really difficult for them to ever sort of get back into a new chapter of the book in their life and actually like pursue it with a great sense of integrity or even a great sense of ambition. And we can think of all kinds of organizations, especially that were founder led. And again, church planters, this is true. You start to hold on to something that you've moved on from. And then the rest of your life, you end up like trying to destroy the thing you built. And it's so unhealthy. It's so toxic. It's so like not kingdom minded. But if we don't transition well out of different seasons of assignment, we're going to have a hard time like being able to be on point with the whole sort of arc of our life and our career and our vocational calling. And you know, this is really going to be true for younger leaders, because the average 20 something today is probably going to have 10 to 15, maybe 20 different seasons of assignment over the course of their career, because of free agency mindset. Like, we live in a project generation now. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but if we don't help leaders really like figure out, especially identity and calling, they're just going to jump from thing to thing without any sense of the direction they're supposed to be heading overall.
Mm. No, if I'm not careful, this becomes a therapy session for me right now, Brad. You're like, because I'm in the middle of a transition. Like, I just last year walked away from a church plant that I'd given 22 years of my life to leading, and transitioned that to a young leader that had been with me 15 years. He's 35, handed him the keys. And we've been over the last year navigating that whole relationship. And man, like you said, it's just revealed some stuff in my own heart that God had to deal with in my own life. It's so easy to let your identity get wrapped up in what you do instead of who you are in Christ. And it's what I so appreciated about some of the language. And I also appreciated you talked about it, that this isn't just like a destination we reach. It's more a posture we cultivate. This is a lesson we have to learn over and over and over. Talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, listen, I'm, you know, again, this is out of pain points. So the challenge for me, and I'll go back to Catalyst, the season of leading Catalyst. When I knew that it was time to transition, I was in London with a transition coach, which was really helpful. And we were walking along the Thames River, having a coffee on a morning in the fall of 2013. And I said, what are we doing today? Cause we sort of had a plan. I was over there for a couple of weeks. He said, we're killing Catalyst Brad. I was like, well, that sounds like not fun. And he said, no, it's time for us to like, to have a moment to truly be able to transition to a new season of a vocational assignment, and not make sure, again, Vance, what you said, make sure that your identity in no way going into a new season where you're going to be doing something else ever has any connection back to this past season. And it was a bit cheesy. I'll say that. It was like a moment that was pretty cheesy, but it was so important for me, because if I hadn't have done that, and this is true for all of us as leaders when we transition, if we don't have that permission, the mindset that, you know, we can celebrate the past and move on to the next season, we end up, whether we admit it or not, walking around hoping that the next leader fails. Because all of a sudden people will start to say to me, oh, Lominick, man, it was so much better when you were there. Would you please come back? And that is intoxicating and dangerous. Compared to people said that, if they would have said that, I could have said, well, thank you, but you know, don't give me, I don't need any of that. And this is a classic challenge in every kind of organization. And it's so important that we get these right, because if not, we're spending, you know, the rest of our life feeling like we're on the JV team and we're just looking for any kind of validation that will tell us that we still matter.
My gosh, I feel like you're speaking to what is an epidemic in the church in North America. There's a lyric that I use a lot in talking about leadership. And I say that if you think in Christ-like leadership, that Jesus focused more on succession than he did on success.
Yes.
And often in the North American context, we're the opposite. We focused on success to the exclusion of succession. We don't even think about it. It's why so many senior pastors get to the point of retirement and they got to go hire a search firm to find the next leader, because we don't even think about the fact that the psalmist said the plans of the Lord are from generation to generation, meaning I'm simply stewarding something that belongs to him and it's going to be continuing in the next generation. And if I'm going to lead like Christ did, I've got to think about that and what's coming. But I think what you're talking about with this issue of humility is tapping the nail on the head of the issue. And that is an identity issue. Yeah. Noah, help us dig deeper into this issue of humility.
Yeah, that's my big question here. If humility is really answering the question, who am I? And a lot of church planters are younger. They're not transitioning out of something. Honestly, most of them are transitioning into something. They're thankful to leave youth ministry. They're thankful to leave another job and hit the big show in many of their minds. How do they discover who they are and get this humility piece right that doesn't set them up for years and years of mistakes because they didn't get it? How do we do that, Brad? How do they answer that question well?
Man, good question. I think you guys are the expert on that one. Like, I would say this, it's so much of this goes back to that, you know, you have to be a leader who is leading yourself. You have to be so dialed in on the way God has wired you, the ability to have 100% self-awareness, and then to lead out of that. And let's be honest, again, most of us in life as leaders, if we're honest, we're imposters. You know, we're trying to prove that we belong. We're trying to navigate like a situation and act like we know what we're doing. And most of the time we don't. Listen, you all know as well as I do, like, especially church planters, a lot of times you're flying the plane and you haven't even built it.
Yeah.
It's not one of those you're building as you fly it. Like, it's not built at all. Like, it's duct tape and MacGyver. And this is the challenge, is that we want to sort of fast forward our sense of that we are the expert, or that we know what we're doing, or that we, you know, we can rely on our ability to figure it out. And there's both the side of we have fake humility, which is, oh, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. And then we have real humility, which is, I don't know what I'm doing, comma, but I can figure it out. And based on the way I've been wired and what God's given me, and the season I feel like God's called me into or assigned me into, we're gonna make it work. And you know, this is the premise for me is always that your team already knows it, right? Like, think of all the people that we've worked with. They already know the stuff that's going on. So my job as a leader is to make sure that we're creating like congruency. We're actually creating a sense that we're all leading from the same place, right? And this is the challenge of all leaders, is that we stand up and we paint a picture that's actually not true. So I'm always looking for transparency, vulnerability, authenticity, honesty, and self-awareness when it comes to like this idea of humility. Because more than ever, I want to follow that person today. And the old days, it was fake it till you make it.
But yeah.
Anymore, like, young leaders will see right through that.
I want to say something to that, Noah. And then, Brad, I want to ask you a follow-up question to that issue of transparency. The point I want to make is, I love what you just said, Brad, about false and real humility. Humility is a sense that I can't do this in my own strength, but there's also a confidence that comes through dependence on the Father, knowing that He's called you to this. My favorite church planting verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:24, where Paul wrote this: faithful is He who calls you. And then he said this, and He will also bring it to pass. Meaning, for the church planter that's listening to this, he's not just faithful in the calling. He didn't call you and then go, okay, you figure it out. He's faithful in the bringing to pass. So there needs to be a self-awareness, a humility that apart from Him, I cannot do this, but He's called you to this. Mm-hmm. And because He's called you to this, as you continue to live out of your identity in Him, He will be faithful to what He's called you to.
So good.
Brad, the question I have for you is, as I watch the generation that's coming up today, I agree 1,000,000% with you. People have asked me many times, man, how does a guy from Alabama drop in Vegas and see the kind of fruit you've seen? There's a lot of answers to that question. But one of the things is that I'm a very authentic leader. My preaching is very transparent, but there's a difference between transparency and just vomiting for the purpose of manipulation. And I just find with social media and with where people are today, I think some people need to hear the difference between, okay, there's one thing to be transparent. There's something else to just throw everything up and use that as a form of manipulation. Speak to that, if you will.
You're right. I mean, and this is the difference between what true humility, true self-awareness, true authenticity is. People have asked me, and I've heard other thought leaders talk about it. Should there be a limit to your authenticity? I would say probably, depending on the context. But I always want to lean a little bit further into authenticity and transparency than I might think I should. Because what I'm always thinking about is this helping move the needle in regards to whoever I'm leading, whether it's a staff person or it's a volunteer or it's a congregation? Is it helping me move the needle because now they look at me and go, okay, trustworthy, I'll follow that leader because of what they just shared with me. When what you said, Vance, is true. When you start sharing stuff though, that now puts a hesitation into the mind of your staff or your volunteer or your congregation, I think that's the checkpoint where you need to really like make sure that people around you are speaking into that and going, yeah, probably too much. And
so good.
That's now people will say, well, how do I know? Well, you're smart. You'll figure it out. You know, this is going back to just the ability to be discerning as a leader. And you have to pray for this. Like I think this is God given in terms of how do I know like what that looks like in regards to each person that I'm gonna connect with. And let me just say this back to what you said earlier about the way God has wired you. And I want to say this is both an encouragement and a challenge. And it doesn't matter if it's a church planter, it's an entrepreneur, it's a CEO. We have a lot of people in the Christian world who are walking into new seasons without any business walking into that season. Meaning this, church planting, I think it's still cool, right? I mean, you could argue that there's a lot of, Noah, you said this earlier, there's a lot of young leaders who see church planting as a way to potentially like grow their influence, which I love.
Yeah.
But you got to make sure you're actually wired.
Yes. So good.
To be a church planter. This is why the assessments that you all do, the strengths finders, the upfront sort of due diligence is so important, because if you think that you're going to, you know, walk in with just a bunch of passion and no strengths, no wirings to actually like go start a church, it's going to be tough sailing, right? And this is so true. And when it comes to calling and assignment, you got to find things that you're both wired with talents by God to do, as well as that you're passionate about. And when you find the talent and passion connection undergirded by God's story, and that's when you that's when you are in the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. But just think American Idol or The Voice. You know, you get somebody on there who they're so passionate about singing, and then you listen to them sing and you're like, who told you?
Yeah.
Who told you you were any good?
Yeah,
right.
So good.
be, you know, we have to be really on point with self-awareness as it relates to, am I actually wired? Cause I can do it for a little while, but after a while, like, you guys are the experts, you're going to flame out because you're not a starter. Perhaps, you know, you might be more of a maintainer or a turnaround person. I'll stop there.
So good.
So good. We are going to continue this conversation in a follow-up episode. But for those who are listening, if you want to hear more about specifically this first subject of humility, check out Brad Lomenick's book, H3 Leadership, and hit us back here in a future episode to the follow-up conversation.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.